Begin by singing hymn 171. We'll arise for the last verse. We ask Brother Harry Grable to take us to the throne of grace.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Heavenly Father, we approach unto thee now to thank thee for the blessings which thou hast bestowed upon us. We seek now thy continued blessing upon us in this Vesper service. Grant that we might receive a blessing from it, that we might be uplifted by it and come to a better appreciation of thee and thy plans and purposes. We ask too thy blessing upon the one who is to direct our thoughts, that this blessing might be made possible. These things we ask, praying for thy blessing upon thy Israel the world over. We ask thy blessing upon those who couldn't be with us, and on those of our brethren who are isolated and sick. And these things we ask all according to thy will, praying for the full establishment of thy kingdom here on earth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've asked Brother George Tabak to arrange and take charge of the Vesper service, so we'll turn the meeting over to him. Brother George.
Thank you, Brother Henry. Well, dear brethren, it's always a joy to meet together in convention, to hear words from the Lord, from the Lord's banquet table, as it were, along the lines of prophecy, admonition, character development. And I always thought it is a blessing to end a day with our hearts reflective, which often is the case that takes place in a Vesper service. It's when we're lifting our voices in praise to our Heavenly Father and hearing others singing the beautiful melodies of the Psalms, of words of praise and thanksgiving, that it just seems to draw us nearer to the throne of heavenly grace. And so that's what we'd like to do tonight, to just sit back and to meditate and think of the joys that are beyond the veil if we are faithful. And kind of a theme that we'd like to consider in our singing tonight, and the various brethren who will be singing solos and quartets and so on, is along the line of the many things that we have to be thankful for, to rejoice in. We are to be rejoicing Christians, and to have our hearts and minds in that attitude, in that frame. Not one of finding all the little things we have reason to find fault with, but to look at the grander picture. These few years of life, when they are over, oh, what eternity will have in store for us if faithful. And so let us lift our voices and rejoice. Let's sing together. Hymn number 248, Rejoice, Rejoice, the Promised Time is Coming. Good. Lifting our hearts in praise, rejoicing. And that's what we want to do. And now we'd like to call on our brother Glenn Pryor to read for us a reading from the reprints, page 1948, on the Christian's joy that brings out how our whole attitude of life is to be one of joyfulness. You could come up here, brother Glenn.
The Christian's joy. Our capacity for joy now is not what it will be by and by. But it is possible now to have our little earthen vessels as full as they can hold of the joy of the Lord. For in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, and no matter what may be the conditions and circumstances. Earthly things are all so transitory and so changeable that a single blast of adversity may sweep them all from us. But not so is it with those whose hearts are centered in God. These have learned to estimate the things of this present life according to their true values. They see that all of its joys are both transient and unsatisfactory, and that the only real value in it is in the opportunities it affords for experience and discipline and education in the things of God, for making our calling and election sure. It is indeed the will of God that all His children should be happy in Him, that they should be always rejoicing. And if anyone lacks this blessing, he is living below his privileges.
It is indeed the will of God that all His children should be happy in Him, that they should always be rejoicing. And if anyone lacks this blessing, we're living below our privileges. Oh, may we have that disposition of heart that we always strive to have a smile on our face, no matter what the trials or the difficulties we are going through. One of the great joys and blessings we all look forward to with the anticipation of our lifetime, really, is one that Sister Helena will sing for us now. When I get to the end of the way, Sister Helena.
And the toils of the road will By and by I shall see him and praise him in the city of unending day. Then the toils of the road will seem nothing.
Then the toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. Oh, could we just but close our eyes for a moment and contemplate that time. Our hearts will stop beating, and the very next moment will be entered into the joys of that land beyond the veil. To be taken by the hand by our Lord and introduced to our Heavenly Father. Yes, as Paul says, our trials won't even be worthy to be compared with the glory that we shall have if we are faithful. Oh, how we long to be there and make our calling and election sure. And brethren, though we have trials, and maybe going through sorrows and heartache even now, these few years are but just a fraction of a second of eternity. And if we but can keep holding on and striving with all that is within us to please the Lord in our every thought, word, and deed, oh, what a joy will be ours. Another joy that we have had the privilege of experiencing at this end of the age is the joy of the knowledge of the second presence of our Lord. And so, brethren, may we lift our hearts together in singing hymn number 76, The Savior Comes. Continuing in the reflecting upon our Lord's return, we would I'd like to have our brother Lauren Gaunt read for us a poem entitled The Lord's Return. Brother Lauren.
Rejoice, O world, your king is here. Behold and look about you and see, like sudden miracle, the foretold signs around you. Yes, knowledge is increased, we see. There's running to and fro. And nation against nation fights against common foe. Great fear is in the hearts of men. Much death and pain and sin. Distress, it seems, on every side with just no way to win. In all the tumult, Christ as King sets up his kingdom now. He'll crush the wrong, establish right. Before him all shall bow. Though dark clouds of trouble show, behind them shines the sun. With blessed healing in its beams comes Christ, that Holy One. Rejoice, therefore, and be glad. Still pray thy kingdom come. Through Christ, our everlasting King, the victory shall be won.
The clouds of darkness must come, but oh, the silver lining beyond will be a blessing the like of which all mankind could never even dream of. Now we'll have the joy of having six of our sisters sing for us the beautiful hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Truly, we want to think of our Lord as a close, intimate friend who we can come to in all our trials and all our sorrows to give us help.
Oh.
Oh, how thankful we are that indeed we can bring all our sorrows and all our trials to our Lord in prayer. For we know that we're told that He indeed is a sympathetic and merciful High Priest who is tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so He can know what we are going through and will give us the sustenance for every experience. Now, brethren, let us lift our voices together again in singing number 267. So let our daily lives express the beauties of true holiness. That we endeavor to gain is for that one purpose of letting our daily lives express the true meaning of holiness. Because unless it has that action upon our hearts and minds that they are gradually, day by day, being transformed, all the knowledge in the world is meaningless to us. And now we'd like to hear the counsel of our brother Paul. Brother Larry McClellan will read for us a group of scriptures that Paul has written for us.
Counsel of Paul. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within. Let us have no imitation Christian love. Let us have real, warm affection for one another as between brothers. Let us not allow slackness to spoil our work, and let us keep the fires of the Spirit burning as we do our work for the Lord. Base your happiness on your hope in Christ. When trials come, endure them patiently. Steadfastly maintain the habit of prayer. Give freely to fellow Christians in want. Be hospitable. Share the happiness of those who are happy and the sorrow of those who are sad. Live in harmony with each other. Don't become snobbish, but take a real interest in ordinary people. As far as your responsibility goes, live at peace with everyone. Let us strip off everything that hinders us, and let us run the race that we have to run with patience, our eyes fixed on Jesus, the source and the goal of our faith. For He Himself endured a cross and thought nothing of the shame because of the joy he knew would follow his sufferings. Think constantly of him enduring all that sinful men could say against him, and you will not lose your purpose or courage.
Let us have real, warm affection for one another as between brothers. This is what we're all striving for, to have that brotherly love so manifested within us that it's just a part of us, and it radiates between one another. And though there might be some little differences, that we still have a true love and appreciation and can see the love in our fellow brethren whom the Lord has called, and how we're all striving to serve him faithfully unto death. Now we'll have the privilege of hearing our brother Paul Lagno sing a hymn for us entitled, Pass It On, Pass It On.
It only takes a spark to get a fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to see, want to pass it on. What a wondrous time is spring, when all the trees are budding, the birds begin to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friends, this happiness that I've found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintops. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. I'll shout it from the mountaintops. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
Thank you, Brother Paul. I'm sure that echoes the feeling in all our hearts. We've been so richly blessed with the knowledge of our Heavenly Father's plans and purpose. We can't help but want to pass it on, to tell others, because indeed we have the grandest message in all the universe. The whole world is in sick pain and going into death, and we have that joyful message that could just give them a little ray of hope to look forward to something better that lies beyond. And so we do want to pass on what the Lord has given to us. Well, let us continue singing together, brethren, with the use of hymn number 270. Rest for the weary. those words, we couldn't help but think of our meditation this morning on the Levites, how after the tribes on the east side of Jordan, they received their rest. They were given their reward. They drove out the enemies of the effects of Adamic death prior to mankind. But then they have to help mankind to also enter rest. And so as we sung, there will be rest for the weary, not only for us, but for all mankind. And then after the firstborn class helps mankind to achieve their rest, then they will come back to enjoy all the ages of eternity in what is implied in the blessing of divine nature and of spirit reward for the great company and ancient worthies. Well, as we consider the rest that there is for the weary, we'd like to read scriptures in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Brother Harry Grable will read for us now some comforting scriptures, verses 26 to 31.
Isaiah 40, 26 to 31. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, consider who created it all. Let out their hosts one by one, and call them all by their names, through his great might, his might and power. Not one is missing. Why do you complain, O Jacob, and you, Israel? Why do you say, my plight is hidden from the Lord, and my cause has passed out of God's notice? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, creator of the world, or the wide world, grows neither weary nor faint. No man can fathom his understanding. He gives vigor to the weary, new strength to the exhausted. Young men may grow weary and faint, and in their prime they may stumble and fall. But those who look to the Lord will win new strength. They will grow wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will march on and never grow faint.
What a precious promise we have. Our Father promises to give vigor to the weary, new strength to the exhausted. Young men may grow weary and faint in their prime. They may stumble and fall, but those who look to the Lord will win new strength. They will grow wings like eagles. And so the Father wants us to come to Him, to seek His forgiveness, not to become discouraged. You know, we all do from time to time in degree. But may we, when this happens, fall on our knees and beseech His forgiveness and pick ourselves up again with the assurance of the promise that He will forgive us if we will but confess our sins. Continuing in the joys before us, we'd like to sing together hymn number 260, The Joy of Sharing with Others the Knowledge of Truth. Send out thy light in truth, O Lord. Let them our leaders be.
Thank you.
now our brother John Guzik will read for us the February 12th Songs in the Night, having to do of how we are laborers together with our God.
We are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3:9. Pastor's comments. The one work of the gospel age has been the selection of the spiritual seed of Abraham, to whom all the families of the earth shall be blessed, shall become the earthly seed. This promise that all the families of the earth shall be blessed cannot be fulfilled until the spiritual seed shall be completed. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. There has been but one work from first to last. And so we read, one soweth, another reapeth. One send you to reap, there wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. John 4:35-38. Whether it was at the beginning or now at the close of the age, the time of reaping is all one work. And there is one purpose being served, the gathering of the elect.
Yes, as ambassadors for our God, the Lord uses us to call out the remaining members of the body of Christ. It's our responsibility to shout it from the mountaintop, the fact to Zion that thy God reigneth. And truly it is a joy, one of the many joys that we have, to share the truth with others and to see from, not very often, but occasionally, the joy that fills the hearts of one who has their mind open to a new vista of understanding of the potential and the possibility that all men will be blessed in the kingdom. Now, brethren, we'll have the privilege of hearing four of our brethren singing that which we have all received, Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet.
we've been there 10,000 years. Oh, you can't begin to comprehend that, can we? But we must remember the sentiment of that hymn, Amazing Grace. Oh, may we never begin to think of what great things we are accomplishing. Oh, what we can accomplish is nothing. It's by grace are we saved through faith. It's a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Only by God's grace, and may we ever be mindful of it and praise the Lord for opening our eyes to this grace. Let us join together again in singing 273, Son of My Soul, My Father Dear. Now, brethren, we would like to read something that might seem a little bit humorous, and it is. But there's a lesson, I think, that we can all learn from it. There's a little writing we found that was entitled, Why I Never Criticize a Waitress. I have a rule against registering complaints in a restaurant, because I know that there are at least 4 billion suns in the Milky Way, which is only one galaxy. Many of these suns are thousands of times larger than our own, and vast millions of them have whole planetary systems, including literally billions of satellites, and all these revolve at the rate of 1 million miles an hour like a huge oval pinwheel. Our own sun and its planets, which include the Earth, are on the edge of this wheel. This is only our small corner of the universe. So why do not these billions of revolving and rotating suns and planets collide? The answer is that the space is so unbelievably vast that if we reduce the suns and planets in correct mathematical proportion with relation to the distances between them, each sun would be a speck of dust, with 2, 3, and 4,000 miles away from its nearest neighbor. And mind you, this is only the Milky Way, our own small corner, as it were, of our own galaxy. And how many galaxies are there? Billions. Billions of galaxies, space about 1 million light years apart. Remember, 1 light year is about 6 trillion miles. Within the range of our biggest telescopes, there are at least 100 million separate galaxies, such as our own Milky Way. And that is not all by any means. The scientists have found that the further you go out into space with the telescope, the thicker the galaxies become. And there are billions of billions as yet uncovered in the scientist's camera and the astrophysicist's calculations. When you think of all this, it's silly to worry whether the waitress brought you string beans instead of lima beans. A little humorous. But isn't there a profound message there? You know, there's no more profound writing than our morning resolve. I shall neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust Him, come what may. But how often, in such little insignificant, trivial things like string beans and lima beans, we find we have to voice, oh, you know, how come she didn't bring me this or that? Perhaps the height of Christian attainment is that indeed we can come to that point where it truly could be said that we never murmur nor complain, but realize that all these things are working together to prove us, to develop us. We know, brethren, we are promised that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear Him. Do you ever think of what that means here in convention? Perhaps not too far above us, there's a group of angelic beings, our guardian angels, conventioning together, as it were, and I'm sure they rejoice too, just like we, looking over us. So as we sing this next hymn, let us show, let them hear, let our Father hear how much we truly appreciate His greatness, His goodness, as we sing together, O Lord, how great Thou art. often, brethren, keep before our mind's eye, or bring before our mind's eye, the reflection upon that time when we indeed will see our Lord face to face.
It's been a beautiful day, hasn't it, brother? At this time, we'll ask Brother DeWeiss to read the songs in the night.
The text taken from the songs of the night is found in John 7:16. It reads, "My teaching is not mine, but his that sent me." The teachings of all the Lord's representatives should be along this same line, not human speculations and philosophies, but the Word of God. "He that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, but he that hath my word, let him speak my word." Jeremiah 23:28. "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because they have no light in them." Isaiah 8:20. "Preach the word, be instant in season, and even when inconvenient to yourself." 2 Timothy 4:2. "The word of God is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword." Hebrews 4:12. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." John 17:17. "They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus and learned of him." Acts 5:13. "Thus it is that those who are faithful and loyal to the Lord and the word of his testimony speak not vaguely and indefinitely to the world, but declare the message of God, the good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people in due time."
We'll ask the parting blessing on the day, which we feel the psalmist describes very well. Although he applies it to himself, I think we can apply it to ourselves as a group. 42nd Psalm, the 8th verse, and a 4th Psalm, and parts of the 7 and 8 verses. "Yet the Lord will commend his loving kindness in the daytime, and the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Thou hast put gladness in my heart." Hasn't the Lord put gladness in our heart today? "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me to dwell in safety." We'll ask Brother Tabak to ask the Lord's blessing until we meet again tomorrow. And our program tomorrow begins at 9:45, the beginning of Bethel service. And we'd appreciate your being here promptly so that we can further enjoy the blessings of the day. Brother George.
Our most loving Heavenly Father, we bow in humble adoration before thy hallowed throne. We praise thee, we thank thee for all the blessings that thou hast showered upon us. Especially, Father, for the privilege of knowing thee and calling thee Father. For the privilege of the high calling that our little insignificant nothingness as dust on the balance can be invited to the greatest and grandest blessing that this universe will ever see, to be with thee and to share the divine nature. Oh, Father, we realize we're so unworthy, but help us, Father, to bring thy word and thy counsel to our mind's eye more fully, that indeed we might walk more closely with each day, with our eye single, to serving thee and being more acceptable. Forgive our feeble efforts, Father, for wherein we come short. Help us to overcome more fully. We thank thee for this convention and day of fellowship, and be with us now as we go to our places of rest, and if it be thy will, refresh us that on the morrow we might again feast at thy table. Continue with thy children everywhere, Father, according to their needs, for we pray and give thee thanks in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.